you go back to John 21. We're discussing the time frame between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost. Jesus made appearances unto many for 40 days. One of these appearances is recorded in John 21, where he appeared unto seven of his disciples, and Peter, as we've been discussing, was singled out in the hot seat. And recall in John 21, 15, after they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says to him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Then the third time, in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now we're going to continue with where we were last time in verse 18 and 19, and then we'll move on. Jesus, speaking here in verse 18, says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And here's our attention point starting this morning. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, said unto Peter, Follow me. It was interesting, in Scott's class on Friday night, we discussed many of these same verses that we're going to review again here this morning. And we went over last week some of this, and we're going to finish it here, continue on. We were given instructions by our Apostle Paul, instructions which truly align with Jesus' instructions to Peter that we just read here in John 21:19. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1. We don't have to turn there. I'll just read these to you. We went over these last week. But Paul writes, Be ye followers of me, followers of Paul, even as I also am of Christ. And earlier in 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul stated, Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And in Philippians 3:17, and this book is written, of course, to those in Philippi, the race course runners, he wrote in Philippians 3:17, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. And then, Scott went over all these scriptures Friday night if you were in his class. In his very first epistle that Paul wrote, which is 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 through 7, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So how did the Thessalonians follow Paul? Well, they didn't literally follow him everywhere he went, did they? There's no way any of us could do that. But they followed his example of faith. And I want you to turn to Hebrews 13:7. I don't remember if Scott went over this one or not on Friday night, but we will go over it tonight, or this morning. Hebrews 13:7. Paul writes, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their manner of life." In other words, Paul is saying here, be mindful of those who have been entrusted of the Lord to be your pastors, your shepherds. Their responsibility is to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep, just as he instructed Peter there in John 21:15-17. So here in Hebrews 13:7, Paul is writing to follow the faith of those who have presented unto you the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. The word of God is Jesus is defined in Revelation, is it 19:13, is that right, or is it 17:13? I think it's 19:13, yes. And so the Apostle Paul encouraged his followers to follow the faith of those who have presented unto you the word of God, just like the Apostle Paul did in every church he went. If you study the 17th chapter of Acts, you'll find that Paul, the Thessalonians only had Paul around for a short while. Yet, they became his followers. Not everybody, but there were those who did. And that is, they followed his example of faith in following the Lord. Go to Ephesians 5:1. In Ephesians 5:1, Paul wrote this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And I'll give you one more to look at. Hebrews 6:12. So these are encouragements that we find that we how we are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And in Hebrews 6:12, it says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So, are you following the leading of the Lord in your life? If you're truly following the instructions given us in the Word of God, especially Paul's gospel message, then you are following the Lord. We're still not through back in John 21, examining Jesus' appearance unto seven of his disciples that the Apostle John wrote about in John 21. So, well, let's read what the Apostle John wrote next in John 21 after Peter was instructed by our risen Savior to follow me. John 21:20. Then Peter, turning around, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, y'all know who that is, that's John. Turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, at the Last Supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Isn't it interesting how fast our eyes get off of Jesus and we look around at people and others? And yet, Jesus has just told him to follow me. What about John? So verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee, Peter? Follow thou me. In other words, who are you going to follow, Peter? I'm encouraging you to follow me. I want you to see something here in verse 20, and something that the disciple whom Jesus loved is pointed out here to already be following Jesus. It seems that Jesus and Peter are now walking, and John is following them. He couldn't get too far away from Jesus. He wanted to hear what he had to say to Peter. The Greek word used here in this portion of Scripture translated both follow and following that we find in verses 20 and 22 is akalethio. It's number 190 in the Strong's Greek Concordance, and it expresses both metaphorically and literally a union of two or more going side by side down the same path together. Isn't that interesting? Thus it speaks to one going in accompaniment with the one who precedes him. Follow me. And as we have been discussing, we are to walk this path in following Christ, in following Paul as he followed Christ. We're to do so by faith. We pointed out last time that we find in 19 verses of Scripture the words follow me. And in our number study that we did several years ago, we learned that the number 19 is a number that points to faith. How do you follow the Lord? You're going to have to do it by faith. Now, Peter and John and those that were the disciples, as we mentioned last week, they had literally been following Jesus for 3.5 years. But now that he is risen from the dead and no longer walking here on the earth side by side with him, the encouragement still is to follow me. So how are they going to have to do this? This is going to be a new thing for them. They're going to have to follow him by faith. It's not going to be a new thing for us. We've been following him by faith all along the way. And so it says in again there in John 21:20, then Peter turning around, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Who was John following? Was he following Peter or the Lord? Well, initially in that chapter, he was following Peter because they all went fishing, following Peter. But now he's following the Lord. He don't want to, Peter, we didn't catch any fish following you, buddy. You know, the Lord come along and we caught all these fish. So the answer then has to be John was following Jesus. And Jesus here was encouraging Peter to be the same kind of close follower as John was, to walk in unison with the Lord. And of course, I think what's being pointed out here, as we'll see as we progress, if the Lord tarries, it takes the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make this happen, doesn't it? Okay, in John 21:22, we find the last red letter words spoken by Jesus in the book of John. And essentially, these are the last words spoken specifically unto Peter that are recorded in Scripture. In verse 19, the Lord had told Peter to follow me. And Peter, like all of us are, and sometimes do, we get distracted from what the Lord had just told him to do, and then we start asking questions about John or other people, what are they supposed to do? And there are several lessons we can glean from these three verses of John 21, 20 through 22. And we can only walk with the Lord by ourselves. My wife cannot walk with the Lord for me. Scott cannot walk with the Lord for me. So in other words, we as individuals must make our own choice to follow Christ. And certainly, we want all we know to join us. But the bottom line is that only we can make this choice to go on with the Lord for ourselves. Yes, Peter wanted to know what the Lord had in store for John, but that wasn't Peter's business. That was the Lord's business. And we know John had to make his own choice to follow me, to follow Christ. And we know that he did so. And we also know, as we read on in the book of Acts, that Peter and John's names kind of go simultaneously together. They were in unison as they followed the Lord, as they followed the leading of the Holy Ghost in their life. They had been with each other as businessmen before, and they still was in a different business. The Lord had told them he would make them fishers of men. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Read that in Matthew, the 4th chapter. So the Lord was getting Peter in this portion to focus upon his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to turn his life over to the leading of the Lord, and to follow me as Jesus had instructed him to do. And as we know, Peter was going to be the leader among the kingdom apostles, and so was John. But first, before they could be leaders, they had to be followers of Jesus and his well-designed plan for their individual lives. And of course, as we mentioned, Peter and John went on to complement each other in the ministry Jesus had appointed for them to do, which was to catch men to win souls for Christ. If Peter was going to focus upon what John was going to do, or if John was going to focus upon what Peter was going to do, both of them would have missed out on what God the Father wanted them to do, which was to follow Jesus. Go back to Jeremiah 10, 23. Old Testament scriptures, these boys would have been familiar with. And in Jeremiah 10, 23, we know that Peter and John both would have already at least heard what was said here. Jeremiah 10, 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Who directs your steps? We have a man here today for the first time. The Lord directed his steps to come to this church. And he's here for the first time. He was a little late last week because he was looking for a place, and he asked the Lord to take him to a place. Well, here he is. Furthermore, turn to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. We know that Peter and John both would have also known what's stated in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It's Old Testament scripture. It's good for all of us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Lord directs our steps. He orders our steps. So the encouragement that we should all learn here then is that we can't run someone else's race. And that there are many distractions out there in the world that can take our eyes off from following after God's best. And for us in this church age, God's best is for us to win Christ as bridegroom. We must see to it in our own lives that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things don't enter into our own hearts and choke out the word of God, and we end up missing out on God's best. If you want to study about that, read the fourth chapter of Mark. We find in our text here in John 21, 20 through 22, that Peter was focusing on earthly things and his fellow man. So Jesus, knowing this, saith to him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Go to Psalms 121. And while you're turning there, you know, on the night of the Last Supper, they went out and they sang a hymn. I was thinking about this morning. They sang a hymn. Who was the one that was in tune? Singing. Who never missed a note? And what was their hymn book? It was the Book of Psalms, right? Wouldn't that have been something to hear? I mean, you probably would have just, your mouth would have gone wide open and hearing the voice. What was it like? That had to be beautiful. Psalm 121, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. Or maybe David didn't write this, but he was familiar with it at least. And Psalm 121:1 says, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help." Where did his help come from? Above. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore." You think Peter knew this psalm? Yes, he did. And this is instruction on how to follow the Lord. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Where does your help come from? Go back to Psalm 34. This is a psalm that David did write. It's got his name attached to it. Psalm 34. It's probably a familiar psalm to most of us. At least several of the verses in it. Some are favorites. Psalm 34, we'll start in verse 1. We won't read the whole chapter. But it says in Psalm 34, 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Verse 6, this was one of Sue's dad's favorites. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want or no lack to them that fear him." Drop down to verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Certainly, David knew how to follow the Lord. And that's one of the reasons we find him listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as one of the Old Testament worthies of faith. Faith. We're to follow the Lord. We have to do this by faith. We walk with the Lord by faith. If we are going to be found among the New Testament worthies of faith that are found discussed in Hebrews 11:30 through Hebrews 12:2, we must then also ourselves follow the leading of the Lord in our own lives and do what Peter was instructed to do here in John 21. Follow thou me. Paul wrote in Hebrews 12:2 how to follow the Lord. He wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Go back to John 21, if you're not, don't have that place marked, and we'll finish this. John 21, 23 through 25, after Jesus said what he said there in verses 20 through 22, says in verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die, speaking of John. Amazing what we hear when we selectively hear things. That wasn't what he said. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Then John writes about himself. He says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, well, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, one of the things we kind of take from this is it seems that the Apostle John outlived the other 11 of the kingdom apostles. And we've talked about this before, how that it seems that the Apostle John wrote his 5 New Testament books of Scripture after 90 AD, meaning this was a long time after Jesus' resurrection, after his crucifixion, after all the events he wrote about in John. This is 60 years, close to it, after this. So he thought about this for a long time. And he thought about what a privilege it had been for him to be a disciple of Jesus while he was here on earth for 3+ years. And then a follower of Jesus for 60 some more years before he was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write these things down. And go to 1 John, the first chapter. He kind of expresses how this was for him. He was marveling at this. He kind of probably pinched himself every day thinking, I was there. I was with him. And he's still marveling at all that he had witnessed. And in 1 John 1:1, the Apostle John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You don't have to turn here, but in John 1:14, the Apostle John wrote this in his introduction of that chapter. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in parentheses he writes, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I seen this. I witnessed this. It is, like I said a minute ago, 60 some years later, John is still pinching himself, realizing that he had handled the Word of God. He beheld the glory of the Son of God. He had laid his head upon Jesus' breast. He'd felt and heard his heartbeat. He was there. And he had truly seen all that he wrote about. In John 21:24, if you're still there, John testifies that the testimony that he himself wrote of Christ is true. Perhaps none of the other disciples were still alive to dispute John's words by the time he wrote these things down around 90 AD. Yet John wanted us all to know for a fact that his testimony was true. The Holy Ghost is witness to our own hearts that John's words are indeed truth. And just as John had wrote at the conclusion of John chapter 20, he again writes in John 21, stating there is no way the world could contain all the books that could be written of the many things Jesus did during his time here on earth. Nor is there any way the Apostle John himself, after thinking about this and pondering this for 60 years, could write any more than he did, even after thinking about it all this time. So we find it no wonder that our Apostle Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 2:8, how that it would take the ages to come for God to show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You want to know what you're going to be doing in eternity? You're going to be seeing a lot of things, too much for us to take in now. We have a lot to look forward to in eternity. But while we're here on earth, how much do we also treasure our time with Jesus? John realized how much he treasured his time, but how much do you treasure your time with Jesus? How many books of testimony could each of us write on just what the Lord has done for each of us? We don't have enough time, paper or ink, to put down everything that the Lord has done for us. And I don't think we can truly appreciate that. We're still in the process of examining some thoughts about what happened between the 50 days between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost. There's a lot of events that's taken place. In Acts 1, it's right there, we find in verse 3, and we've talked about this before, that Jesus, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, this is after his resurrection, being seen of them of 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was seen by them for 40 days. So we know it took place for the first 40 days of these 50 days before Pentecost. And we don't have a record of every appearance that he made, you know. But I'm confident that the ones we have written for us in Scripture are just a few. He had to appear to his disciples. How many disciples did he have? It wasn't just the 11 remaining ones. There were people that followed Jesus all along the way, and we'll get to that when we get to the first chapter of Acts. What we covered in John 21 is just one day of 40 that our risen Savior Jesus Christ showed himself alive after his own passion by many infallible and undeniable proofs. And there was one time it was witnessed by more than 500 plus people during these 40 days. You find that in 1 Corinthians 15, 6. And so we did cover several appearances that Jesus made, just kind of as a review. We went over five separate appearances Jesus made on the first day of his resurrection, and then how he appeared unto 8 days later unto the 11. That's found in John 20, verses 26 through 29. Here in John 21, he makes his appearance to seven of his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And as we go through this, realize that Galilee is the region of Galilee. It's like a state of Israel. It's about 70 miles north of Jerusalem. So, you know, Jesus was crucified there in Jerusalem, but then he met with them up there in Galilee. So how long does it take for them to get back to Galilee? They didn't have Ubers. They, you know, took a while. How long would it take you to walk to Fort Collins? Some of us would never make it, right? So so we got to realize that this appearance that we just read about in John 21 was probably 2 or 3 weeks after his resurrection. And in Matthew 26, 32, we won't get a chance to finish this today, but I want you to review something that Jesus told his disciples on the night of the Last Supper. This is found in Matthew 26, 32. Jesus tells them, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." And he told the 11 this, and he's only appeared to seven of them in Galilee, so there's got to be some more. We'll talk about it as the Lord tarries.